Welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about actionable steps. A lot of times, we just get so caught up and worried about life and everything going on in the world that we end up like neglecting taking care of things. And then when stuff actually happens, we find ourselves caught off guard and not prepared. I know that's happened to me, and it's not necessarily big things, but little things. Like, oh, where is that that I thought I always kept in my car? You know, maybe you show up and you don't have the jack in the car or something. I mean, this doesn't really happen to me, but you know what I'm saying? Like with the flat tire or, you know, because, oh, I pulled it out for something a month ago right. And I never put it back. Where I grabbed the first aid kit and now the kids skinned their knee and now I can't find anything. You know, I haven't really been hit with big things, but little things that'll throw you because it just gets away from you because we all have 100 projects. I know my thing at like work this week, I have, it's basically supposed to be 4 maintenance guys and we only have 3 because we're missing a guy. And then 2 of them got COVID. So it was me doing the job of 4 people. And then on the next shift after me, 2 of those guys got COVID. And they're like, oh, it'd be great if you could stay after an extra 4 hours. So I've done 12-hour days for the last 5 days. And you just get so caught up in life that you're like, I can't do any more. You know, I can't worry about nonsense. So I think it's important every once in a while, one, to sit and spend a little time kind of reflecting on things and whatever, but 2, making things or sure things are in order. So we tried to put together a list of like some kind of action steps you guys could take that are maybe an hour, 2 hour or a weekend project to kind of help keep the ball rolling and keep things moving forward. So that's, I think, you know, where we're going to go here. But there's a lot of, like, some even quick, easy steps, like things that you could do just, like, basic. Like, hey, let me check, like, my batteries, yeah. Right? Like,
well, I mean, that's really one of my big ones. What kind of things? I know you guys have heard me talk about it on the podcast before is batteries. Make sure you have your batteries. Make sure you have, you know, all the different sizes for the different devices you have. Make sure your flashlights work, you know. Batteries go into a lot of different things, and they can be really useful, you know, really useful for getting your equipment moving and running. You know, it's not just your remote control and your controller for your PlayStation. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can run with batteries.
Although those are important.
Absolutely. But, I mean, if you have a battery-operated radio.
I mean, let's, you know.
You know. There's a million and one things that that can come up, and having those batteries available is great. And you know, remember, batteries will last years. This isn't something that, you know, you have to change your batteries out. You just want to make sure you have the batteries that you need when it's time to get them. Another thing that I see a lot of people you know, we talk about you know, getting your generator ready and having candles and all that stuff, and all that is good. But, you know, a helpful thing that's really cheap is having extra blankets. On a cold day when the power goes out, having a few blankets handy is great. And you can pick them up at yard sales for practically nothing. Just have a good stock of clean right. blankets, and that's going to make a big help. And that's, you know, it's a quick project. It's not a big deal. Another thing I see a lot of people that I deal with you know, they get their grill going, and a grill is a great thing for a power failure. But, you know, how many propane tanks do you have? Do you just use the one that you've got on your grill and then go fill it up when it's empty? Grab an extra propane tank. You know, I know personally, I think right now I've got 10. 5 are full, 6 are full. Yeah, I am a crazy person.
So I mean,
but, you know, you can pick up. I pick them up anywhere. You can pick up old propane tanks anywhere, and you just take them in, and they'll trade it in and give you a new propane tank that's full. You know, it's not like
Yeah, Lowe's is great for getting rid of your rusty expired one, just for secret of the pros right there.
And, you know, propane comes in.
I think a lot of the convenience stores, too.
Most gas stations and stuff will have them outside. And, you know, the lady that works at the gas station isn't really concerned about going over your propane tank and making sure it's, like, you know, not out of date or anything like that. But propane comes in handy for a lot of different stuff. I have space heaters that run on propane. I do my cooking, you know, with my grill, propane. You can even heat your house with propane. So there's a lot of great things that can come up, and having a few propane tanks is really a big benefit, especially a few that are full and ready to go.
One of the big things, like, you know, quick and easy, like I said, that I like to move into bigger, like, what about an inventory? I have been dying, and I have not done it. And I know some of my, I have, like, some long-term, you know, survival food things, you know, your 25-year, mm-hmm. whatever. I have some of that. And, you know, whatever, we won't get into how much. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, the more the better, right? But I also have a bunch of 5-gallon buckets that are full of stuff. Because I'll tell you, 5-gallon buckets sealed up with easy stuff is so much cheaper than your survival food and can buy you a lot of time. So we had talked, I mean, we did an episode on planning out, like, your own prepper food kind of thing. But, like, buying the giant bags of pancake mix and syrup at Lowe's. Now, syrup doesn't last as long. It should, but I don't think it does. But anyway, but the pancake mix has, like, a 4-year shelf life or something. And, or I think it says 2 years on the bag. And I think you're good for, like, 4 to 6, right? So, like, a month worth of calories for one person for, like, $15. And that's nothing. But if you supplement, I mean, I know, yeah, we want protein and all these things. But I have chickens. I can add eggs to it. I can do all these different things. But it can make it a little bit better. Instead of eating eggs nonstop, now I'm filling my belly with some kind of bread and that kind of thing, you know, from your pancakes. And it's like $10, $15. But you're not going to get the long-term 25 years out of it. So it's still cheaper for me to buy that, keep it for 3 to 4 years, and then throw it out and replace it. Or give it away to somebody that is down for eating that at 4 years, you know? Maybe they're feeding their family with it. I don't know. I don't know if people are hungry out there. I imagine, you know, I don't see the Sally Struthers commercials anymore. But in my mind, there's people that would be down for eating my pancake mix that I would actually eat. It's just I always, like, I'm bougie, so I'll eat, like, the Klondike protein powder kind of stuff and make pancakes out of that. You know, I'm a swell, so, you know. But I have the other to fill up calories. Bottom line, I have containers with rice, beans, all kinds of stuff that I was able to buy cheap that has more like a 5-year shelf life. And I know a lot of that is actually coming up on the time where I need to change it out. And like the rice, I do actually cycle through. And I've actually burned through quite a few 25-pound bags of rice, you know, over a couple of years. And they do last years. Seal them up good. Check for bugs and whatever. It does happen. But I've had really good success of, as long as I, you know, pack it in tight, put it in a Lowe's bucket with a lid, and you want to get crazier, they have the food saver ones. And, you know, all that shit is going to extend your shelf life. But anyway, bottom line, you need to go through and check it and make sure it's there. And make sure your dates are, you know, okay. Somebody had just talked about, like, rice weevils or something, and I don't think I answered that guy in the email. I got to get back on it. But that's one of the things, you know, they'll get in and destroy stuff, and you need to know where you're at or find out all your toilet paper has mice in the container and, you know, they chewed through and now it's a big pile of, you know, mess. You got to go through and check your stuff and make sure things are in order. Another thing, I have a bug out bag in the car, right? A get home bag. And that get home bag, you need to go through, see what's in there, see what's leaking and turn to garbage, or what's, you know, what maybe critters got in there and ate some of your stuff. Check it out. Make sure that's, you know, going the way it should. And just knowing what's in there and what's, you know, where it is in the bag can make a big difference. First aid kits. Maybe inventory your clothes. You know, and what I mean by that, the clothes, is are you good for three seasons worth of clothes? You know, did you maybe lose 30 pounds? Or that's probably not going to be a problem. But if you gained 30 pounds, your clothes from last season might be a problem. You know, and hey, now all of a sudden it's the end of the world and I don't have anything I can wear. Now, hopefully you'll lose the weight because you're not eating as much at the end of the world. You know, but you get the idea. Make sure you have shoes that fit, that are comfortable, that you're not wearing to the last, you know, stretch. I always, again, money is always an issue, but I always try and be one ahead with everything, if that makes sense. So it's not like I'm buying a huge amount of redundancy, but I have a second pair of shoes kind of set aside. If one go bad, I have a backup plan, you know, and I'm not going to be stuck on my last leg of, you know, so many people do things right to the edge. You know how there's a lot of people out there who drive around with their fuel light on, you know, and they're just right on the edge all the time. Now, if you left it at constantly a half a tank and always put in $5 or whatever, there's no difference in your expense after that first half a tank. But, you know, it'll buy you that little bit of protection. So anyway, next action step, a big one was, you know, go through some inventories. Just make sure things are right. And you tackle the box that you have time for. You know, maybe your first aid kit is a 20-minute project because that's what you have time for. Going through and pulling out all your food storage and go through it might be a 4 or 6 hour project. It might be an hour project. But you do something you have time for this weekend. You know, get something done or, you know.
Well, I just wanted to touch real quick on that first aid list that we talked that you were talking about. You know, I know a lot of guys have these first aid trauma kits, you know, but you don't think about the other stuff, you know, the Tylenol, the aspirin, the, you know, the heartburn medicine, the, you know, that sort of stuff. That's all. Yeah, that's all. Anti-diarrhea. All that stuff is important. And, you know, and you think you have something and then you pick up the bottle to go, you know, go use it and realize that it's practically empty and you didn't have what you thought you had.
Right. Or it dried out and it's gross. Or, yeah, exactly. You know, having extra triple antibiotic, I like Orajel, actually. I've done stitches on the kids. And, you know, I'm not doing it on myself. I'll go to a doctor.
You want to get an infection.
But, you know, for somebody else, you throw a little Orajel on there, you'd be fine. Luckily, my kids were so terrified of the doctor that I'm like, well, I could do it at home. And they're like, yeah, that's better than going to the doctor. And I'm like, all right, let's get in there and see what we can do. And I'm like, sucker, because, you know, I save money and, you get the idea. I'm a cheap bastard. People point that out to me quite a bit. Well,
it's important if you're a prepper. I think it's a good quality. One of the things I wanted to talk about real quick is your storage space. A lot of preppers don't think about that until they start buying a bunch of shit and they have nowhere to put it. And then you end up looking like a hoarder rather than somebody that's organized and planned out. Buying a few sets of shelves is definitely worthwhile, especially if you have those shelves, you know, designated, you know, for a certain thing, food items and you know, whatever, different stuff that you store. I know a lot of people prep different weird things that I'm not going to argue about it. Whatever it is, it's good. I was making fun of Chuck for prepping, for storing toilet paper. And then, you know, then I was in the backyard with a hose trying to clean my butt crack out because, who thought there'd be a shortage?
Right.
Right.
Your homemade bidet. Right. Right. Your homemade bidet and you're squirting. Yeah. It's not good.
But shelving units are great. And Chuck had mentioned the Lowe's buckets with the lids. Those are great. Those big Rubbermaid bins. Those are great. You know, anything that can keep the moisture out and keep the the mice and you know, pests out of your stuff is great. You know, you don't want to open up your closet to grab your winter coat and have a bunch of moths flying out and holes in all your stuff. So keeping it stored well and...
Well, I would say... Yeah, no, it's good. I would say that I love the big Tupperware bins and all that, but that shit's expensive as hell. They're like $45 for like a medium, you know, like 20-gallon container or whatever. And some of the bigger ones are like $100. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the hell, you know? I won't not... And that's what pushes me into the 5-gallon buckets. Another thing you can think about, I've really been trying to come up with a second place to cache a decent amount, you know, half of my food storage, maybe half my ammo, you know, that kind of stuff, at like a fallback position, and finding some kind of container to secure that and keep it dry and safe and away from critters is not an easy feat, you know, and that's something you may want to really look into. And that really could be a weekend project on its own, is caching, you know, half your stuff, even if it is in like the back of a shed or, you know, or somewhere hidden in your house. I mean, you know, in the same house is probably not as good unless you really have a safe, secure room. You still run the risk of your house being, I don't know. I mean, for your hardcore crazy preppers, your house being taken over, for you, you know, more conventional preppers, you run the risk of a house fire or something like that, you know, where your stuff could be destroyed.
Yeah. Now, the most important prep that I think it's overlooked a lot of the time is water. You know, that's going to be your number one need. And I don't think a lot of people store water, and it's really easy to do. You know, water is one of those things that if you get it in a container, you can set it and forget it. You don't have to think about it. It's not going to go bad. It's fine. If it's in a sealed container, it's fine. If the container was clean when you filled it up and you sealed it and the water was clean, it's fine. It's good. So all you have to do, I mean, you see them when you go to the grocery store, those 1-gallon jugs of water, and you know, you feel stupid paying $3 for a jug of water. And you are kind of stupid for paying $3 for a jug of water, but it's $3. You know what I mean? It's, you get the container, and that's really what you're paying for. Now, if you can bump it up to 5 gallons, that's even better. 5-gallon jugs of water, as long as you can manipulate it in a way that you can actually use that water without spilling it everywhere, you know, that's great. A lot of people do things like rain catch basins. Great. That's great for garden use and things like that.
Yes.
Great stuff.
I saw one. I checked them out on Amazon because I was, you know, looking at doing this. And they had for $50, $49, they kind of had like, it wasn't a nice big plastic, but it was like a kind of like a storage bag for rain catchment and it was like 55 gallon. So there is easy... Almost entry level, I would say. I mean, shit, if you have nothing, a 5-gallon Lowe's bucket with a lid, guess what? That'll hold water. Now, are you worried about what's the plastic we're afraid of getting in our water or whatever? What is it?
Yeah, BP-free, you know what? Fuck that shit. If you're worried about dying of cancer in 50 years, then you worry about that.
Right.
But yeah, whatever.
You shouldn't be drinking your bottled water anyway, right? Unless it's coming in the glass bottle. And if you're, honestly, if you're bougie enough, you're way more than me, that you're drinking only water, you know, bottled water in glass bottles. Then I would say if you're at that point, you can afford the big $1,000 water storage thing. Another big thing you can do is 55-gallon drum where, again... To buy one that actually is clean and nice, I see them on the internet for like $150. Those giant 250-gallon, you know, clear or white looking in the metal cage, those water storages. I see them used used questionable for like $50 all over the place. I see them brand new and clean for like $2.50, I think Amazon will sell you. You know, you're paying basically a dollar a gallon or whatever for storage. One of the things in a perfect world you could set up is where your water goes through your storage. So you basically, your water coming into your house plugs into your storage container, and then you have an outlet on the other side where it's going to go, you know, draw it out to run to the rest of your house. That way it's always fresh and nice. But like Kevin said, it really doesn't matter. You don't need to panic that much. I mean, bottom line, having 5-gallon buckets with a lid, you have 5 of them and they're filled with water and sealed and stuck in the back of a shed. Guess what? That's better than not having clean water.
Right.
That's going to help you all day long. I know with me, I mean, I actually have a well that I can access without electricity, plus I have a generator. But even without that, you can just having maybe, you know, I have a 55-gallon drum that I got for like $10 that had questionable things in it. So I'm not excited about drinking out of that for me. But if the power goes out, I can use that for toilets. And then I have like 2 or 3 cases of water that are in the individual bottles that make it easy for me being able to drink and whatever. Now, like I said, I have bigger options that I can go to, you know, more long term. I'm not worried about water where I am and in my situation. But damn, if you're in the city, keeping a case or two of bottled water in your house, that's a great start, you know, and then kind of go from there. One of the things I would say, if you haven't done it, I just checked, they're available on Amazon. You've heard me brag about it, is that Water Bob. But again, and that's for like more so the city guy. It's good for everything. Like if I have a generator and can only run my well an hour a day because I'm trying to save the gas in my generator, then I could fill up the Water Bob in the bathtub and make it last. But if I'm in the city, usually you have a day's worth or at least a half a day's worth of water still in the pipes if you're in a real city that'll keep coming out of the tap. You know, having a Water Bob and being able to fill it up is definitely going to buy you time. So something like that, and then just throwing it under the bathroom sink in a bathroom where you have the tub, how cool are you to be able to just grab it in an emergency? It looked like it was like $35 with the pump to pump it out of there and just easy. I'm not saying it's a perfect solution, but I'm saying it's way ahead of having nothing, and it could buy you a lot. And especially if you live in a questionable, you know, climate where water is going to be an issue and be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, another thing that all preppers should be doing is saving all their containers. You know, the amount of containers we throw out. You know, even things just like buckets, just a bucket is a good handy tool when you don't have one and you need it, you know? there's always storage bins, always everything, you know, check yard sales. They're great. I know Chuck was just talking about the individual water bottles. And I'll save those. I'll use those and refill them. You know, any kind of storage, any kind of item you can save for storage is a great thing to have available. And they're really cheap if you keep your eyes out for them and you get them when it's available, and save the stuff that you use for reuse. You know, you can go out and spend hundreds of dollars on Rubbermaid bins and all sorts of, you know, this and that. But having that stuff available and not spending a fortune for it by just grabbing the stuff that you are going to throw out, definitely a handy option. You know, might not look great, but it works just as well as anything else will.
That's what I always find out, is everything is kind of a trade-off of money and time. And I, you know, I'm always balancing. If I'm working 1,000 hours and, you know, like I am this week, I'm doing nonstop, you know, 12-hour days, then great, I have lots of money, you know, in the next month that I can spend. But if, you know, and again, I'm really going to just save it for a time when I'm not working nonstop for a couple of weeks. You know, if I was the guy who got COVID and was out for 2 weeks, my paycheck's going to take a big hit, you know. and that hurts. You know, I still get something, but, you know, it's not the same. Working 40 hours and working 60 hours, turns out those paychecks are a little bit different. And sadly, I've gotten used to the lifestyle of the 60-hour work week, and, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But again, I mean, you know, you choose your life. I plan my budget to live off a 40-hour, but when I got it, I'm like, hoo-hoo, I can go, you know, buy something. I can get tires on the truck and not drive bald tires all the time. You know, it's always, you know, something that we do. I don't know. My wife always gives me a hard time. Like, I'm like, oh, you sound like you have money and you know, whatever. Again, remember, I'm an old man. I'm already, you know, I've done my fighting and whatever. I'm getting to the point where you kind of should have your shit together. You know, I know that sounds wrong, but by 50, you should, you know, and I'm not 50, but I'm getting older and, you know, you should kind of get your shit together by then. Yeah, I'm not trying to be mean.
Get your
mean,
shit together.
I'm
you can saying. Be mean. It's all right. Get your shit together.
All right. So, yeah. All right. Get your shit together, you know? Like I said, at 25, at 30, I didn't have my shit together. And, you know, I wasn't doing better and whatever. You know, yeah, I had credit card debt. I had a long time that I had to work through credit card debt. Got an ex-wife, got things that, you know, we all make choices and it's not perfect in the rainbows and sunshine you see on the internet every time. But you work towards getting out of that shit, you know? You work towards getting it together and getting it right. And you just keep moving forward. Another thing people don't do is inventory just the stuff in your car. Like your jack, your, you know, make sure the tire iron's there and it actually fits. I know with my truck, the wheels that I have on it, I can't even put like the factory lug wrench in there. You need like one with like a little thinner edge to go in and whatever. Just make sure it's all going to work. You know what? That's my point. Make sure it's going to work for you. You should probably have a flashlight in your truck, in your, all your vehicles. Hey, is your spare tire good? Does it have air in it? You know, some of you guys have older vehicles and those spare tires have been in there and not touched for 20 years. You know, when you put it on the car and it's got the weight on the ground, is it really going to work? You know, take a look. Jumper cables. Do you have jumper cables?
I'm shocked. You know, I'm constantly shocked by the amount of people that don't have jumper cables in their car.
Oh, all the time. And then they're, you know, standing at the gas station, hey, do you have jumper cables? And I understand a lot of people just don't have time for games. So they're like, no, I can't help you. But it's also because 60 or 70% of the cars out there don't have jumper cables. You know, they're like, oh, somebody else will be prepared. It'll be somebody else's problem. And then why does this always happen to me? It's so unfair. Life is extra hard for me. Yeah, because you don't think about anything or care. But anyway. All right. So, moving on to next weekend project. How about this? Actionable step. What about survival shelters? Now, this one kind of is like, could be, again, could be 4 hours in the weekend. It could be 8 hours. It could be a whole weekend. What if you spent the week watching like Sigma 3 videos or whatever? There's a ton of good stuff on YouTube about survival shelters. Find one that's conducive to your environment. You know, if you live in the desert, find desert survival shelters. If you live in, you know, rainforest survival shelters, things that are appropriate to you. Hey, you have a ton of pine trees. All right, something like that. Or, you know, what's going to work where you are? And watch some videos, figure out how it's done or find it in books and maybe go out and actually build one. Now you're saying, wait, Chuck, you know, I live in the city. Well, one, there's a lot of shelter options in the city, so you're not going to have to worry about actually building something, you know, too creative. You can kind of use a dumpster if you need to in the city. But I think they're all full in the city.
Yeah,
though, actually,
they smell like shit.
But anyway, not of people, but of, garbage. There's a lot of garbage in the city. But anyway, maybe you go out to the park. Maybe you go to a you know, a camping in a national park or something. I don't know that you could find somewhere to build a shelter is my point, right? Go squat on somebody's land out in the woods, just not mine. We had somebody do that once when I was in New York. I wake up and there's somebody all set up with a tent camping in one of my fields, or actually it was my brother's field, and they were all set up, and I was like, oh, my brother must have told somebody they could set up there. And then I saw him like a week later, and I was like, what was going on with the people camping in your field for 3 days? And he's like, what are you talking about?
He didn't even notice
him,
huh?
I'm like, huh, all right, that's weird. So I guess that's what people do, you know, is they come and squat in different places, you know, whatever. Hey, look, the grass is cut. That'd be great for me to go squat there. I don't know who has the balls to try that kind of thing. I feel like I'd get shot, but you know, hey, whatever. So bottom line, there's always somewhere you can go practice putting together a shelter, but actually doing it is what's going to get you, you know, kind of comfortable with your prepping skills and be able to, you know, do it. I think it would be cool to go set something up on my property, you know, build a little outbuilding kind of back. It might even be where I put my extra stores or stuff like that. But again, you're probably not going to need a survival shelter on your own land when you have your house there.
Right.
That's kind of redundant. But the practice of building it and seeing, hey, what would be useful? Hey, if I brought a hatchet or I brought a bunch of, paracord, I could make my life so much easier. These are the things you learn. Another one, how about this? Canning, pressure cooking, putting together meals that you can cook outside, figuring that out, learning how to cook kind of with foil or the Dutch oven, or, you know, you have the metal skillet or whatever. Just having the one pan, you know, a Dutch oven or a cast iron, like frying pan kind of thing. Figuring out how to cook outside, guess what? That's something you could do for a day. You know, kind of look up some meals during the week and then actually, you know, go out camping for the weekend and cook some meals and try it out. Try cooking some of the things and don't just go camping and do the easy. Oh, I bought a bunch of prepared meals and it was easy. See what it's like to actually cook. And hey, even cooler if you can forage some stuff or, you know, catch a rabbit and, you know, do some things. See what you can do. I mean, maybe you become the slingshot master. Do you ever think of that?
Yeah. Huh?
See, slingshot guy, just bopping the bunnies in the head, you know, whatever. Whatever it takes. That sounds like a crime in a lot of states, but they'd probably get away with it in a lot more.
Yeah.
So,
now, another simple thing that you can do for, you know, 15, 20 minutes is have an escape plan from your house. You know, if there's a fire or a home invader, or, you know, something like that. What do you do? Your kids know what they're supposed to do? What is their jobs? What is your job? What is your wife's job? You know, what are you guys going to do? And how are you going to get out of the house? And how are you going to make sure everybody is out of the house? You know, having a plan set up like that is a good idea. But also having an evacuation plan, hurricanes coming, whatever. Whatever's heading your way and you got to get out of there, having a plan of where you're going to go, what you're going to bring with you, and how long it's going to take to get there is really important. You know, having that in your mind and set up and, you know, talk with your family about it. You know what I mean? Make sure everybody's on the same page. Maybe they have ideas that you didn't think about that are, you know, that are worthwhile. So That sort of stuff, that it doesn't cost any money, it takes less than an hour, and it really will improve your prepping. Keep your family safe.
Right. Now,
one of the biggest things that...
That's it. It's just spending
one of the biggest
time.
Things that was not a lot of money that I really feel like has come in a lot is a solar charger for my phone. They're about $30 and you can get them. And man, I'll tell you what, it works really well. It charges up fast and it, you know, you can set it out in the sun for a few hours and it's going to have 3 or 4 charges on it. And it's definitely handy to have in your go bag, in your get home bag, It's handy to have when you go camping. It's handy to have around, and it's not expensive, and it's easy to use. So I definitely recommend checking one of those out. Like I said, it's not very expensive, and it comes in a lot. It's just about as good as having a headlamp. So let's talk about lights for a minute. Having a couple of cheap flashlights that you got from Lowe's, cheap plastic flashlights you bought from a gas station or wherever, that's fine. That's great. It's great to have them. Kids are always taking them and losing your flashlights. It's just going to happen. But it's worthwhile to spend some money on some quality lights. The headlamps are great. Keep both your hands used, but also having a big mag light. A lot of people don't use those anymore, but they last a long time when they have their batteries in them, and they're good. They're steel. They're not going to break, and you can smack somebody over the head if you need to.
I would say that flashlights have come a long way from the mag lights, though. So, it could go either way. Although I will say the flip side, my company is big on, it's funny, they don't want to pay us, but they're down for buying us like whatever tools we need, Somehow it comes out of some like magic budget that, whatever, doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, I need this. So if I need like a $200 headlamp, hey, no problem. That we got. You want to work some overtime and, we have this training class. It's going to cost us $300. Oh my God. What are we going to do? It's weird where the priorities are. It's where the budget comes from. But anyway, so I get these like really fancy like headlights, and I'll buy the Energizer headlamp at Lowe's for $20. The Energizer one is like 10 times better. I'm like, really? This is it. I don't get it. I mean, I'm obviously picking the wrong one because I'm dumb, but I feel like I've tried quite a few, and sometimes they'll come in, hey, we just bought you these really expensive ones here, and they always like something completely inappropriate for me. Like, hey, you're an electrician. Here's a drill and tap set. Okay. I guess I could use that.
Yeah.
I'll put it in a drawer, or maybe I don't know. I'm just like, all right, or they'll go by the mechanic. Hey, here's a multimeter.
Right. Oh, okay. The hell is he going to do with that?
But if you need something, yes. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, so there's just a lot of different things. The point is to not just let life pass you by, but whenever you have time, and also plan time. Mm-hmm. To take some steps. How many people waste, they'll get up, Saturday's my day off or whatever. I'm going to sit around and stare at my phone for 3 hours like I do during the work week or whatever. And I'm just going to lose that morning. Back in the day we used to, I'm going to watch cartoons all morning, right? When you're a kid. But there's always something, that you're like, I'd rather. But if you plan to carve out the time, hey, you know what? I don't have a lot of time. I have stuff I got to get done, but I can make myself 2 hours to plan for this weekend and go out and just make sure things are a little bit squared away. We had a listener message me and Kevin about a month ago and say, hey, I live out in Arizona or something, and, water could really be an issue for me. And I finally got around to setting up a water storage system in my house. And I mean, he really did an impressive job, sent pictures and everything. And it was like, really substantial. But it's like, hey, you got to throw some money at that. You got to throw some time at it. But that security and peace of mind, and it probably isn't going to become an issue where you really need it and can't get water. But damn, when it's an issue, you're going to be like, that paid off. That's huge. We had a listener when they had the big devastating hurricane in Puerto Rico and was like, hey, I took your advice about water storage and food storage, and I had a bunch of survival food, and it saved my ass. I was so much better and able to help my neighbors instead of being desperate and put in a horrible position. That's a big thing, and that's why we're preppers. That's why we do it, is to, because we're worried that, hey, you know, something could happen. It might not always go the way that it's always gone. And that's one of the things is, throughout history, people keep getting smacked with these catastrophes. But in your own lifetime, in your own personal experience, maybe you haven't seen it, you know? Maybe inflation hasn't hit you up until now. You know, now you're starting to be like, hey, you know, things can really get away from me. And maybe I should have been watching my budget a little bit more as, you know, life was going on. And a lot of people are caught off guard now. And they're kind of like, hey, I'm kind of in a shitty spot here. Well, that's the thing. That's why we're preppers, right? So I don't think a lot of you guys are having that problem. But because you plan, you know, you make decisions and whatever. But you're also at a point in life sometimes where, hey, you know, I just moved or I just made a big change that's going to pay off and be long-term better for me and my family. But it put me in a risky spot and then the economy turned and sometimes things get away from you. So we all have a different starting point and a place to come from, but, you know, make sure that you, you know, just take the steps and keep looking forward and look at how you can protect your family and yourself.
Now, if you guys send us some of the cool shit you've been doing at your place, you can send us a message over at preppingbadass@gmail.com. We do read all the emails, get back to most of them. So, you know, heads up there. Also go over to our Facebook page. A lot of fun stuff going on over there, man. I think, you know, we've got a pretty good Facebook community with, you know, it's not full of a bunch of assholes, which some of the prepping communities are, you know. I was on one of these Facebook prepping communities, and this guy was talking about hunting rabbit. And it must have been the first like 15 comments on it were like, you can't survive on rabbit. Haven't you ever heard of rabbit starvation? All this shit. Like, this guy's doing all this work.
Yeah, this guy's doing all this work, you're gonna die.
And showing you how to clean a rabbit. And made this video for you, and you're just shitting on him. You know, I don't see that a lot at our Facebook page. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, are here to learn and you know, would definitely love seeing some videos or some pictures of what you got going on, you know, your own preps and that sort of stuff. So I think it's really worthwhile to swing by and take a look.
Right. I am going to see if we can try and put some of these podcast episodes back on YouTube. I know some of you guys like to, you know, have the different format. It's maybe easy to put it on the computer in the shop and throw it on or whatever. Or, I don't know, I guess the phone anymore. People listen to podcasts. But anyway, one more option. I have been looking into the whole like live stream and do something like that. I'm going to see if I can kind of do some of those. Problem is I end up working weird hours where it's going to be in the mornings where people are at work and doing shit. And, you know, who knows? So they may end up being recorded, but we may get some of that. So you might want to subscribe to the Facebook group and page because you might catch that. The big thing, too, we'll probably do it on the Prepping Badass YouTube channel. And same thing, if you're subscribed, you probably get a notification, hey, the badass is doing something. So you might want to check it out, and it'll give you a chance to interact and do it in real time. So you may want to subscribe to those things to, you know, make sure you don't miss a trick. One of the things, I've been kind of curious looking at TikTok, trying to see if there was a way to, like, incorporate it, because that's where, you know, a whole big other segment of the population. Now, I don't look good in yoga pants or with no pants, like most of the people on TikTok. Like, you got to be, like, a 20-year-old girl or a 16-year-old girl or... I haven't seen like a lot of like old timers with beards and you know, tired old guys doing it. Although I will say they have some kind of, I've been checking it out. I haven't done it yet, but we're just like prepping badass on TikTok. Now I haven't made any videos, but I'm thinking about it and I'm looking. I just don't know how it'll be received. Nobody's talking about guns or whatever. You're just like, ooh, when I cheat on my boyfriend, this happens. And, you know, whatever. I haven't worked out what I can do yet. But I know there's going to be something amazing and it's coming. So you may want to try and find it and subscribe. Just so, you know, I don't even know if you can subscribe to people. I think I have to make a video. Then you can like it. Maybe I'll put one up by this weekend. And then you can like it and like follow it. I don't even know how you follow somebody on it. But what I have seen is if you hit it, there's a little thing when you're recording that you can hit enhance. And it makes my skin smooth and beautiful like a young teenage girl. And I'm like, what? This is excellent. So I was very excited about that. I was like, wait, I'm not as ugly anymore. Like, you know, I could be like Lemmy or something. And then all of a sudden I look like Britney Spears. Nice. And
I'm I do want to see a Chuck.
This could be Britney Spears, you know?
Combo. That really would be impressive.
Britney Spears version of Chuck, right. And you go, you know, full on, you know, so there's that. Another thing pretty exciting going on is if you guys go to preppingbadass.com, we have the coffee mugs. We got some kick-ass shirts. We got a lot of cool stuff there. You could, you know, hey, support the channel with that by buying badass gear and look fashionable. And you might be impressive on, like, TikTok, drinking out of your prepping badass mug or whatever it is. People would be like, ooh, that guy's got it going on. So, just saying, subscribe to the YouTube channel. See if you can figure out something on TikTok. It is prepping_badass for the TikTok thing. But again, I don't even know if it's set up that you can really follow it yet. But I'm going to try and make that shit happen. Anyway, with that, stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.